Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind podcast. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of total transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into this podcast. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects of listening to this podcast may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
I'm not asking if you got a lot done yesterday, and I'm not asking if you accomplished something worthwhile. The bigger question is, did you do your very best? Og Mandino says, always do your best. What you plant now, you will harvest later. What's up, moneymakers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich call. Our talented founder, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be along in a few, but for now, tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Mahara and Think and Grow Rich team. Larry and Wendy, McKinney, Texas.
Hi, Larry. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning.
Morning, Mahara. Andre from Jacksonville.
Hey, Andre. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Mahara and Think and Grow Rich family. How you doing?
Hey, Elizabeth, good morning to you, love. I'm doing great.
Good morning, everyone. It's Adele from Long Island, New York. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Adele.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Good morning.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I apologize. How's everyone doing?
Great.
Awesome.
Great to have you with us.
Thank you, babe. Great to be here.
Good morning, Mahara. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. This is Amy in Las Vegas.
Hey, sunshine.
Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Hey there.
Who else is stepping into their best? Best you can be.
Good morning, everyone. It's Jerry from Ontario.
Hey, Jerry. Good morning, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good morning, man. Good morning, family. It's Ken in California.
Hi, Ken. Good morning. We're glad you're with us.
Morning, Mahara. Larry Coates, Boston.
Hey, Larry Coates. Good morning, and welcome.
Have a great day, Mahara and family.
No, you wouldn't. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. This is Anthony Williams from beautiful Clearwater, Florida. How's everybody feeling this morning?
Anthony Williams! We're ready to start the day and read, subscribe, and grow. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you, Mahara.
Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Mahara. Good morning, Elizabeth. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family.
Good morning.
This is Lisa Scott from New Jersey.
Lisa Scott.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Arnita from Columbus, Ohio.
Good morning.
Steve in Florida.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Hey, it's Nancy T. Hello, good morning.
Hey, Nancy T. We're so glad you're here this morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
I love all this energy this morning. Good morning, Mahara. Todd Young, Baltimore, Maryland.
Todd Young.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara.
Great day.
Hello, a beautiful day to be alive.
Good morning, Mahara. Good morning, Broad Mix team. Ruth from the Bahamas.
Is that Ruth?
Good morning, yes, family. Joe Dollar.
Yes, that's
Joe
Ruth.
Dollar.
Good morning, Ruth. Good morning, Joe Dollar.
Good morning, Mahara.
Hello,
Seattle,
good morning.
California.
Hello, Kathy.
Crazy bunch on today.
Hello, Mahara. It's Kat from Bronx, New York. How you doing? It's a terrific Tuesday.
This morning, welcome to the show.
I take action, Arthur. Good morning.
Hey, Arthur. Good morning.
Hey, Mahara, wouldn't it be great if our biological families were as excited about talking to each other as we are?
Huh? It would almost be physically impossible, but yes,
I feel fire and energy coming on the line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Woo!
I don't think I hit that where you at that good with the 800. Yeah.
Something good is about to happen. Good stuff happening.
Good morning, it's Kathy and Idaho.
Yeah,
hey,
oh,
Kathy,
good
morning. Good morning.
What's up? Are you checking about?
Good morning, Joel in Southern California.
Troy from Dallas, Texas.
I ain't seen him in a while. You're talking about it, you're going to hate that.
Hey, 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 ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call. So excited you're here. Thank you so much for picking up the phone and dialing in today. It is Terrific Tuesday, January 26, 2016. This is Paul Hutchings dialing in from my home office here in Southeast Idaho. Excited to be on the line with you guys and gals. Excited to be facing the day together, locked arm in arm, ready to step forward and achieve whatever we've set our minds to achieve. You know, that's one of the beautiful truths we remind ourselves of often on this call is that, you know, as Napoleon Hill phrased it, what the mind of man can conceive and believe can achieve. And isn't that a great thing to know that we as people, if we set something up in our minds, if we decide that we're going to be financially free, if we decide that we're going to earn a certain amount of income, if we decide that we're going to generate a certain level of passive income in our lives, if we decide that we're going to invest our lives doing things we love versus the alternative, right? Being stuck somewhere that we don't want to be, waking up every day not enjoying what we do. Do we all realize, hopefully, that that is a choice, isn't it? It's a choice. We can choose to do things differently. We can choose to create new plans. We can choose to, you know, live a little bit differently than the status quo. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And not only can we choose to do things differently, we can also choose to react in ways that are useful and beneficial on the inside. We can choose to be happy. We can choose to have peace. We can choose to enjoy life and appreciate all of its goodness and all of its various forms and richness, right? All of that is a choice too. And so I kind of like to think that, you know, as we continue on this journey of being Think and Grow Rich practitioners, we're expanding choice, right? We're expanding choice. It's not that we don't always have the ability to choose. It's just that sometimes we're not aware of all the options. Isn't that the truth? Sometimes we're not aware of all the options. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, When I was growing up and they taught me that I needed to go to school, you know, if I wanted to have a happy life, I needed to, you know, study hard, get good grades, go to school, get a college degree, and then come out and find a good company to work for and do that the rest of my life. And so
guess what I did? That's what I did. I followed that path. I went to college. I got a degree. I came out. I got a job, started working in a cubicle, and I did what I did because that's all that I knew was available to me at that time. Those were the only choices that were set up in my own mind. Now, obviously, those weren't the only choices that were available. Those were the only choices that I could perceive as available. So isn't it true that our mental maps determine the range of choice that we have? I mean, the range of choice is always there, right? We've always got so many different choices to choose from, but what we see from the inside tends to control the range of choice that we think we have. And so I like to, you know, look at what we do on this call, and in addition to learning the laws of success, in addition to, you know, learning how to go forth and be free and achieve that which we want to achieve, I like to think that we're always and continually expanding the options that are on the table. Doesn't mean we got to do all of the options. It just means that they're all on the table so we can see them and have a better, you know, better selection, better array of choices. Kind of like Jim Rohn, you know, the way he said it. He said, you don't have to do all you find out, but you better find out all you can do. And isn't that nice to just have different choices? So I love how on this call we're continually enriching and expanding our maps and models of the world so that we can be more free on the outside and on the inside, and we can continue to realize that great fundamental truth that has resonated deep in the souls of philosophers and sages and wise men and women all throughout the recorded annals of world history, and that is what we will be, we will be. What we will choose to be, we will be. We have that power on the inside to choose and to be masters of our fate, you know, captains of our soul, as Henley penned in those lines. So this call is dedicated to that. You know, that's the core fundamental belief that that I have and many of us on this call have, and we're just continually strengthening that and bringing that out more into our life. So great journey we're on, and excited definitely about what we're going to uncover today. And I want to know, guys and gals, are you excited to just be reminded that you do have the choice inside of you? Are you excited to be reminded that you do have the gift of freedom, that you do have the gift of agency, that you can make things better, that you can change? If you're not happy 100% where you're at, you can tweak a few things. You can do a few things differently. You can read a different book. You can listen to a different audio. You can choose a different plan. You can have a different reaction. All of these things can change where we're at today so that where we end up tomorrow, next week, next month, next year doesn't have to be the same as today. Like Jim Rohn says, if you don't like where you're at, change it. You're not a tree. I think that's awesome. Are you guys excited about that? And if you are, let's have some energy, enthusiasm, excitement, and love poured into the lines as I unmute the phones right now.
Boom, baby, get that fired up!
I could hear you guys all sound great. I heard Todd Nuclear Young shouting in the line, "You better get fired up! I'm fired up, Todd Young. I'm so glad you are, man." So, all right, guys, first things first, we're going to go through our definite purpose self-confidence formula. So, star 6, who has that and is ready to lead us through that this morning? Come on out on the line.
Paul, this is Lisa Scott.
That's what I'm talking about. Huffington Post blogger right there.
Huffington Post newest blogger, Paul Hutchings. All right, let's get started. By the first day of 2016, I will have in my possession, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and best possible quality of service in the capacity of. I believe that I will have this in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this, and I will follow that plan when it is received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes, at least 10 minutes daily, to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying or endeavoring until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity because I know that a negative attitude toward others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I believe in them and in myself. The end. Back to you, Paul.
You're so amazing, Lisa Scott. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate you very much. You know, guys and gals, this morning as I was driving to the gym and I was going through my own definite major purpose and reading, you know, not reading, I was driving, I was just repeating it from memory what Lisa Scott just took us through, I thought about, you know, a couple of my new team members, actually one of them in particular that just joined my personal team, and how one of the assignments that I sent this this great lady, this great mother, who's wanting to break free from her job so she can be home with her four kids, as I sent her the video that explains this definite purpose in this major, in this self-confidence formula. And as I was repeating it myself, I was just thinking to myself how fascinating it is that, you know, after 5 years, here I am doing continually what I'm inviting this new team member to do. And I felt a profound sense of just how deep and impactful this one thing that we go through on this call every day can be for a person's life, and specifically can be for this lady's life that, you know, is working with me now. Words can't express, can they? When we think about the profound effect that having a purpose can have on all aspects of one's life, words fail me when I think about how deep that rabbit hole really goes, and how grateful I am that every day we are ambassadors for that. And every day on this call, all of us, we demonstrate to the world the power of the purpose through having one ourselves. And we also do the best we can to be beacons of light for all of those who have yet to find a purpose. We do the best we can on this call to be beacons of light, to inspire people to select a purpose and to have that. You know, there's that deep and profound effect on a deep level that's hard to put into words. And then there's another effect that happens. Another effect that happens, you know. It seems to me, guys and gals, I mean, does it seem to you that having a purpose that's real and intimate and connected with your life goes a long way in motivation, right? Goes a long way in motivation. Like, you know, Josh was talking about yesterday, sometimes, you know, why can we have a hard time sometimes getting ourselves to do the things that we want to do? I don't have all the answers, and I suffer from, you know, human nature just like all of us do. And there, I fall into that category from time to time as well, you know, where I'm like, Paul, why are you not more disciplined? Why are you, you know, struggling with this or that? But it does seem, guys and gals, it does seem that when I remind myself in the morning of what I'm striving for in my life, of that purpose, and I can see it in my mind, I can touch it with my hands because my faith is so strong. Just like that self-confidence formula, you know, says, like this morning, as I'm just imagining in my mind, you know, that bank account balance at the end of 2016 that I'm working for, boy, doesn't it seem like I'm more motivated? Boy, doesn't it seem like I remember why I'm getting up every day and why I'm doing the things that I want to do and, you know, why I'm, you know, forcing myself to do the things that I know I need to do, even though sometimes maybe I might not feel like it. It goes a long way in motivation. So on a motivation level, it's so important, but then deeper than that, and I know many of you on this call know what I'm talking about, in a deeper sense, it's just really hard to put into words, but it's important. So I like to just remind us of that from time to time. So guys, before we're going to continue our study of the law of success, which, as we know, definite purpose is the first one. We're going to continue on. We're in the book Law of Success, and you can download this on our website at growrichaudios.com. We're on page 359 of 1170. And we're going to continue our study of the law of initiative and leadership. And I hope, guys and gals, that maybe we can share with each other different examples of how we're applying initiative and leadership in our lives and in our business. And maybe we can get to the mastermind portion of the call. But before we jump into the study today, I wanted to share just one little noteworthy piece that I picked up from some of my reading that relates to kind of what we were talking about at the first part of this call about, you know, having freedom and having choice and having the ability to, you know, utilize our liberty. I've been reading this book, and I just want to share this with you guys, just a quick little piece. I've been reading this book called John Adams, as I mentioned yesterday, by David McCullough. And one thing that really struck me about this whole study of, you know, how the American Revolution came about was getting inside the minds of these people like John Adams, who knew that by declaring their independence from Great Britain and declaring themselves free and independent states, they knew the reward and they also knew what the cost was going to be. They knew that the reward was so far-reaching. It was freedom set up in a way that it had not been set up all throughout human history. They knew that was the reward, but they also had a sense of the cost, which they knew was going to be loss of fortune, loss of lives, blood spilled out on the ground from real live people. They knew that too. And so it's just interesting to me. I wanted to share this quote from John Adams, that he said in relation to the reward and the cost. And here's what he said. He said, "The object is great, which we have in view, and we must expect a great expense of blood to obtain it." And if you can just put yourself in those shoes for a moment, knowing that by declaring freedom, you're literally signing the death warrants of young people, of, you know, older people, of fathers, mothers, you just real people with real lives, you're literally signing their death warrant. He says, "We must expect a great expense of blood to obtain it." And then he went on to write, "But we should always remember that a free constitution of civil government cannot be purchased at too dear a rate, as there is nothing on this side of Jerusalem of equal importance to mankind." So in their minds, it seems that they determined that the reward of giving more freedom and more choice to me and to you and to my children and to your children was worth the cost. And I just like to remind myself of that from time to time. You know, what has been sacrificed for me so that I could be on a call like this and so that I could have a business like the business that I have, and also so that I could remember that, you know, whatever sacrifices I've got to go through for my freedom and for the freedom of the people that I'm fighting for, you know, however real they are, and they are, the sacrifices we make are real, to just kind of put it in proper perspective when we think about the people who have actually died for freedom. It just kind of, sometimes it just makes the little complaints that I have just kind of melt away, doesn't it? And so anyway, guys, I just wanted to share that with you. So with that, let's go ahead and continue our study. We're on page 359 of 1170 in the Law of Success, and we're studying about initiative and leadership. So Dr. Hill is telling us about this secretary. I'm going to back up just a little bit. He says, I have in my employ a young lady who opens, assorts, and answers much of my personal mail. She began in my employ more than 3 years ago. Then her duties were to take dictation when she was asked to do so. Her salary was about the same as that which others receive for similar service. One day I dictated the following motto, which I asked her to typewrite for me. Remember that your only limitation is the one that you set up in your own mind. As she handed the typewritten page back to me, she said, your motto has given me an idea that is going to be of value to both you and me. I told her I was glad to have been of service to her. The incident made no particular impression on my mind, but from that day on, I could see that it had been had made a tremendous impression on her mind. She began to come back to the office after supper and performed service that she was neither paid for nor expected to perform. Without anyone telling her to do it, she began to bring to my desk letters that she had answered for me. She had studied my style, and these letters were attended to as well as I could have done it. In some instances, much better. She kept up this habit until my personal secretary resigned, when I began to look for someone to take his place. What was more natural than to turn this young woman, to fill the place? Before I had time to give her the position, she took it on her initiative. My personal mail began to come to my desk with a new secretary's name attached, and she was that secretary. On her own time, after hours, without additional pay, she had prepared herself for the best position on my staff. But that is not all. This young lady became so noticeably efficient that she began to attract the attention of others who offered her attractive position. I have increased her salary many times, and she now receives a salary more than four times as large as the amount she received when she first went to work for me as an ordinary stenographer. And to tell you the truth, I am helpless in the matter because she has made herself so valuable to me that I cannot get along without her. That is initiative, transformed into practical, understandable terms. I would be remiss in my duties if I failed to direct your attention to an advantage other than a greatly increased salary that this young lady's initiative has brought her. It has developed in her a spirit of cheerfulness that brings her happiness, which most stenographers never know. Her work is not work. It is a great, interesting game at which she is playing. Even though she arrives at the office ahead of the regular stenographers and remains there long after they have watched the clock tick off 5 o'clock and quitting time, her hours are shorter by far than are those of the other workers. Hours of labor do not drag on the hands of those who are happy at their work. This brings us to the next step in our description of the exact procedure that you must follow in developing initiative and leadership. Second, you of course understand that the only way to get happiness is by giving it away to others. I want to insert something here. I know some of you have read the book Outwitting the Devil, which was written by Napoleon Hill later on in his life. And one of the things that he wrote in that book that has stuck with me on a deep level is he said, I finally realized that no amount of money was ever going to make me happy. And then he said, I'm only going to find happiness by helping my level of happiness is going to be in direct proportion into the level of happiness I help others find. And I just think that's something interesting to ponder, you know, from someone who had made millions by that time in his life. He had like a 500-acre estate in the Catskill Mountains, right, that he ended up losing. But he had these like he had like several Rolls Royces, right? I mean, this is a guy, Napoleon Hill, who had a lot of money and had a lot of success. And he said, I finally realized that no amount of money was ever going to make me happy. Instead, my amount of happiness was going to be in proportion to helping others to find it. I just think that's a great insight. And obviously, he's pointing it out here in the Law of Success. The same applies to the development of initiative. You can best develop this essential quality in yourself by making it your business to interest those around you in doing the same. It is a well-known fact that a man learns best that which he endeavors to teach others. If a man embraces a certain creed or religious faith, the first thing he does is to go out and try to sell it to others. And in exact proportion to the extent to which he impresses others, does he impress himself? In the field of salesmanship, it is a well-known fact that no salesman is successful in selling others until he has first made a good job of selling himself. Stated conversely, no salesman can do his best to sell others without sooner or later selling himself that which he is trying to sell to others. Any statement that a person repeats over and over again for the purpose of inducing others to believe it, he also will come to believe, and this holds good whether the statement is false or true. You can now see the advantage of making it your business to talk initiative, think initiative, eat initiative, sleep initiative, and practice initiative. By doing so, you are becoming a person of initiative and leadership, for it is a well-known fact that people will readily, willingly, and voluntarily follow the person who shows by his actions that he is a person of initiative. In the place where you work or the community in which you live, you come in contact with other people. Make it your business to interest every one of them who will listen to you in the development of initiative. It will not be necessary for you to give your reasons for doing this, nor will it be necessary for you to announce the fact that you are doing it. Just go ahead and do it. In your own mind, you will understand, of course, that you are doing it because this practice will help you and will at least do those whom you influence in the same practice no harm. If you wish to try an experiment that will prove both interesting and profitable to you, pick out some person of your acquaintance whom you know to be a person who never does anything that he is not expected to do, and begin selling him your idea of initiative. Do not stop by merely discussing the subject once. Keep it up every time you have a convenient opportunity. Approach the subject from a different angle each time. If you go at this experiment in a tactful and forceful manner, you will soon observe a change in the person on whom you are trying the experiment. And you will observe something else of more importance still. You will observe a change in yourself. Do not fail to try this experiment. You cannot talk initiative to others without developing a desire to practice it yourself. Through the operation of the principle of autosuggestion, every statement that you make to others leaves its imprint on your own subconscious mind. And this holds good whether your statements are false or true. You have often heard the saying, "He who lives by the sword will die by the sword." Properly interpreted, this simply means that we are constantly attracting to ourselves and weaving into our own characters and personalities those qualities which our influence is helping to create in others. If we help others develop the habit of initiative, we in turn develop the same habit. If we sow the seeds of hatred and envy and discouragement in others, we in turn develop these qualities in ourselves.
This principle through which man comes to resemble in his own nature those whom he most admires is fully brought out in Hawthorne's story, The Great Stone Face, a story that every parent should have his offspring read. We come now to the next step in our description of the exact procedure that you must follow in developing initiative and leadership. Third, before we go further, let it be understood what is meant by the term leadership, as it is used in connection with this reading course on the law of success. There are two brands of leadership, and one of them is as deadly and destructive as the other is helpful and constructive. The deadly brand, which leads not to success but to absolute failure, is the brand adopted by pseudo-leaders who force their leadership on unwilling followers. It will not be necessary here to describe this brand or to point out the fields of endeavor in which it is practiced, with the exception of the field of war, and in this field we will mention but one notable example, that of Napoleon. And we'll continue on this tomorrow, guys and gals. There is a quote on the next page that I want to read here, and then we'll jump into the mastermind portion of the call. It says, cherish your visions and your dreams, as they are the children of your soul, the blueprints of your ultimate achievements. So let's jump into the mastermind portion of the call, guys and gals. Excited to hear your thoughts. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, team names, unless leaders are part of the call here, and brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. Excited to hear what's floating around in those thought waves between your two ears. Let me unmute the lines here. Star 6, who's first? Come on out. You guys practicing initiative and leadership? Are you seeing any examples of initiative and leadership? Come on out. What are your thoughts, guys?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
It's Sharon from New Jersey, Paul.
Hey, Sharon.
And good morning, family. I just loved that story of Napoleon Hill and the secretary. The secretary, he quoted a letter to his assistant. She wasn't a secretary at the time. And there was something that he wrote that striked a chord, something in her brain that made her say, I need to do something more. And she began to do something more, so much that Napoleon Hill noticed it. And she kept on doing something more until she ended up being the secretary of Napoleon Hill, because she took the initiative to learn what she was doing. And for myself, that is sometimes how I got promoted on my job, by doing something more. And it was amazing to hear that again, just going the extra mile, showing initiative. But that would be the word for me this week, initiative. Thank you.
I love it, Sharon. And, you know, it's another great reminder, too, that, you know, sometimes we'll find ourselves not as happy as maybe we want to be in certain things, whether we're in a job or maybe, you know, some things aren't going right exactly with our business or whatever. And it's a great reminder to me to just do my best anyway, right? No matter what's going on, just do our best anyway. So thank you for pointing that out, Sharon. Great stuff. Star 6.
Hey, Paul, Lisa Scott.
We got Larry and then Lisa.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Thanks, Larry. First, I just wanted to thank all of my Sink and Grow Rich family members for all of the shout-outs on the Facebook page. This has been a truly incredible experience. And I love that we're talking about initiative. And what stuck out to me was when Napoleon Hill said, you, of course, understand that the only way to get happiness is by giving it away to others. I was just having a conversation with my husband this morning about, you know, I expressed to you guys, I think the last time I came out,
that some of what's on my heart to do is to support other small business owners where I see that they are, you know, making a contribution to either their community or, you know, whatever it is that gravitates me toward a particular small business, and I feel in my heart I want to support this business. There was a time where I was not able to do that. And I would attribute my inability to doing that to a time where I had a lack mentality, where I was looking for everything for free in my own business, until I came to an understanding that, you know, by virtue of the fact that I made the decision to be in business, I needed to open my mind and my heart to something else. And whenever I see, if I purchase a product from a specific business owner and it was, you know, a quality product or something like that, whenever I see that person come across my news feed, I support that person again and again because it makes me feel good to do that. And when I you know, see that person receive what I've said, you know, because they delivered a quality product or service, it just really makes me happy. And I am noticing, even though that wasn't my original intent, I am noticing that same support coming toward me. So I just wanted to confirm that the way to get happiness is by giving it away. And it doesn't always have to cost money. You know, for me, in this way, it's supporting a business owner over and over again by saying something, you know, online. That means a lot. So just wanted to share that experience. And again, thanks to all my Think and Grow Rich family members for your support. And back to you, Paul.
Awesome stuff, Lisa. Thank you. Larry, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so I'm glad that we're studying this whole section on leadership. And we just really are starting to get into it because I want to give everybody and the family here something to think about. It's really amazing that I've gone through, you know, the better part of my life. I would like to think I'm 67 years old, so I'm certainly not in the early part stages of my life. But throughout my life, I've gone through tons of leadership training, and I started in Scouts. I was a senior patrol leader. I went into the military. I've gone through countless military leadership training courses. I was a leader in combat. Beyond that, I've been in management programs in college where you're taught to be the managers of departments. I've been through all these things. And it wasn't until basically I was at the point where I was retiring and I looked back on my life and realized that I never took advantage of my leadership training. I never considered myself to be a leader. Well, that's not true. I mean, I had one position where I was the director of software development for a software company, and I was in a leadership position there. But that's literally the only position that I was a leader in, considered myself qualified to be a leader in. And I would like to challenge each of my family members here to realize that you are leaders. The fact that you're on this call today and every day as you sit here and you listen, you already are demonstrating leadership capabilities. So if you might think, well, I haven't been through any kind of courses, or that's not me, I'm not a leader, you're wrong. You do have leadership. I want you to think over the next few days as we go through these chapters, exactly what it is that you bring to the table and how you will lead people that join your team, that are involved in your home businesses or whatever you're doing, consulting or whatever. You know, if you're a consultant, you're a leader. I was a consultant. I didn't consider myself a leader, but yes, I was a leader. And I never applied for jobs that were of a leadership role. So take the initiative, which is what we're studying, and figure out ways that you can lead those around you and help lead more people to their freedom and to their solutions. So this is a great place to stop and think about where you are as an individual and the leadership that has been brought to you, and the way that even this chapter will help develop you to see the leadership skills that you have. That's all I have to say. Back to you, Paul.
Awesome stuff, Larry. Great point. Thank you for that.
Paul Hutchins, Anthony Williams from beautiful Clearwater, Florida. How are you feeling this morning, brother?
I'm doing good. What's going on, man?
Man, I am doing good too, Paul. Man, and I'm so excited to be on the Think and Grow Rich call. I'm excited to be going over this chapter because, first and foremost, just to let y'all, everyone on the call know, that I think this is one of the most important chapters in the Laws of Success. Because when we think about it, I mean, most everybody here on this call, you know, is an entrepreneur. And I think that's the ultimate, you know, jump in the leadership and initiative. Because, you know, we say to ourselves that we want to take our own financial freedom into our own hands. We say that we don't want to depend on a paycheck anymore. We say that we don't want to depend on, you know, someone coming to tell us what to do. We don't want to punch a time clock. You know, we want to take the plunge and say, you know, we're going to stand on our own 2 feet and we're going to make things happen. So, I mean, that's the ultimate test to me of initiative and leadership, you know. But, you know, as we, you know, become entrepreneurs and, you know, develop ourselves into better entrepreneurs, I should say, you know, I guess we're tested at times, you know, and sometimes what's easy to do is also easy not to do, you know. So, I mean, going over these principles over and over again and Think and Grow Rich and in other books, I mean, it's just so important that we really develop ourselves into real crisp leaders and really get to know ourselves, which I think is very important because, you know, if we're going to lead other people, you know, we have to first know ourselves, and that's where it starts. And Dr. Hill, and as you mentioned, Paul, in Outwitting the Devil, you know, Dr. Hill says there's another part of yourself, you know, that you have to get to know. And that part, you know, knows no failure. You know, may get knocked down, but it always get back up and press on. And that's the leader that we're all looking to be on this telephone, you know, that leader that make things happen. Don't look for nobody to tell, you know, come and tell you what to do, but you take the initiative and leadership and you do it. You know, you don't need your self-directed, you know, and that can only come with you knowing yourself and being in a position, you know, not only to help yourself, but to help other people. Because once you're in that position, once you're a qualified leader, nobody qualify you that leader. I mean, you qualify yourself that leader. Nobody's going to come and crown you a leader. Nobody's going to say, get on your knees and give you the sword like back in the day and, you know, put shoulder to shoulder, knife to knife and say, you know, yes, I crown you leader. It ain't going to happen. You know, you have to stand up on your own 2 feet and be a leader of yourself. And that's how it all happens. That's how, you know, you lead other people and lead yourself. So I just, that's some of the things that jumped out to me. But man, powerful chapter. It's powerful. You know, if you really stop and think about it, it's a very powerful chapter and one that, you know, we should definitely strive to be better leaders. So I just wanted to add that. Turn it back over to you, brother. Everybody have a blessed day. Back to you, Paul.
Awesome stuff, Anthony. Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you too, brother.
Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Joe Dollar.
Hey, what's up, Joe Dollar?
Hey, what's up, Paul? I love you.
Hey, we're you're cutting out pretty bad, Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, you're like totally in and out. you sound like a robot. Maybe see if you can fix the connection and come back, because we can't hear you at all. Okay. I'm guessing you're saying okay. Star 6, who's next? Come on out. You know, I'll share, guys, like, I got some examples of initiative within the team that I work on. Like, Mike Hobbs, you know, he's on this call, I believe. And yesterday, he invested, and the last couple of days, actually, invested a big chunk of his time, you know, updating our team website, putting new stuff in the back office. And guess what? He makes zero money for doing that. Takes away from his personal production. Now, that's initiative, right? He sees what needs to be done, and he does it without anyone telling him. I think that's a great idea. And there's actually countless examples of, you know, people that I see do stuff like that. We've got another guy on our team who's a member of this mastermind community, the Think and Grow Rich call. His name's Kevin Sousa, and he's always in, like, one of our mastermind groups answering questions, helping people. No one told him to do it. In some cases, he's not even getting paid for it. He just does it because it needs to be done. I think that's one of the things that leaders do. They do things that need to be done just because they need to be done, regardless of recognition, regardless of whether they're going to make more money from it or not. If something needs to be done, leaders just go out and do it. I think that's initiative. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hey, Paul, it's Lisa Scott again.
Hey.
I just had a thought that came across my mind in terms of why people may not, you know, take that initiative. And, you know, if we're comparing ourselves amongst ourselves, so to speak, and you're, you know, sitting back comparing yourself and saying, you know, I'm not able to do what that person is able to do, or, you know, you haven't quite figured out the value that you bring to the table. And a lot of people are feeling that they're not worthy of stepping out and taking that initiative and leadership. And just back to what Anthony was talking about, no one is going to crown you that. No one is going to make that decision for you. It's something that you have to decide that you're simply going to make the decision that this is what I'm going to do. And, you know, when you take that first step, so much after that follows. You know, first and foremost, you begin to trust yourself and you begin to get that confidence that you're looking for that's not going to come from outside of yourself. So just wanted to make those comments.
Awesome. Point.
Joe Dalla.
So true.
Hey,
there you are.
Lori.
All right. I think we got Joe and then Lori.
Okay, but can you hear me now?
Loud and clear. Yeah, a lot better.
Okay, great. Well, go ahead, Lori.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Joe Dalla. You're awesome. I just want to say that every day I'm amazed at the beautiful people on this call that I get to associate with each morning. It's awesome. Lisa Scott came out right when I was thinking the same exact thing about worse and how, you know, it's really easy for me to go, wow, these guys are amazing. They're saying amazing things. I can't possibly, my stuff just isn't worth it, you know, kind of thing. But, there's some tools that I've used, and I'll tell you, my phone has become my friend. We talked about it yesterday with the setting the alarms on your phone or using your phone as a tool like that. And what I decided to do was to say, you know, what kind of, you know, like, let's just forget my stuff. Let's just talk about initiative today. If we decided, okay, I'm going to take initiative, then we could set the alarm on our phone to remind us, hey, are you taking initiative today? And for me, I chose like three words that I wanted to be better at. I chose inspiring, honest, and, oh my goodness, I drew a blank. Anyway, I put those on, I've had those on my alarm like about four times a day so that I can look at it and be reminded of that. And then the other thing that, thinking of self-worth, it was a doctor that I was working with that gave me an idea to try. And he said, take a legal pad so that you can flip the pages and at the top write, you know, what is my purpose in life? And then start writing. Don't worry about grammar. Don't worry about spelling. Don't worry about any of that. And just start writing to answer that question with that question in your mind. And you will write. And he says, as soon as you start to cry, you will know what your purpose is. And your purpose is what will give you that self-worth that you desire. It says it's there and your worth is great. And what you really are doing is uncovering it. So, and I'll tell you what, he said, oh, 5-10 minutes and you'll be there. Well, for me, I quit at like 15 because I wasn't getting there. And I was like, wow, you know, I'm writing. And I had a friend tell me, don't quit, just keep writing because it's going to happen. And sure enough, it did. And not only did it happen where I felt stronger about myself and what my purpose was, but I also, I had it written right there. And as I was writing, it's almost like a subconscious thing. I didn't realize what I was writing, but I could go back and read through it, and it was very clear what my purpose in life was, who I was here to help, and what my mission was. And it's just a tool that's it's so simple, you wouldn't think it would be helpful. But I wanted to share that with you guys. Maybe someone out there is feeling a little bit, you know, like they're not enough. And I just have to tell you, I know everybody that's on this call, you know, I believe in you, and you are more than enough. And I love you, and I'll turn it back over to you, Paul, and Joe Dalla. Thank you.
Hey, Lori, we love you, and so grateful that you chose to speak up because that was so powerful. Speak up more, right? You have such great stuff to share. Thank you for that. Thank you. Joe Dalla, go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Growers family. Good morning, Paul. I love you all. Am I coming through loud and clear?
I think so. Yeah, you cut out just a little bit on that last sentence, but I think you're good.
Okay, great. Well, I don't know what it is, but it's all good. I'll start off with, let's see, on page 17 there, on guest 359. It says, remember that your only limitation is the one that you set up in your own mind. And it works out perfectly. If my phone is cutting off, great. It's the perfect thing. It was because Lisa Scott was supposed to come back and Lori was supposed to come on. Everything is perfect. It's all good. And I want to say with that about doing, the thing about that with initiative, a lot of people may think that, okay, once I'm a top earner in my network marketing company, then I will become a leader. Then I can step out on the call and share, because then I am a leader. I have that now. But that's not how it works. It works with be first. You be that first. You just be the initial, be that person. Be a leader. Be it in your being. Be that person. Say, I'm this kind of person. I am a leader. I take initiative. Be that first. And then you will do the things that a leader does, that a person that takes initiative does. You will automatically do those things. And then you will automatically have those things that leaders have. So it's be and do and have. Be that person. Be the leader. Be a successful person. Even be a rich person. Even if you don't have the money, be that person that I'm rich. Now, as me being rich, what will I do as a rich person in this situation where I don't have money in my bank account, but I'm rich? Then you'll start doing those things, and then you'll have the things that rich people have. And it goes with a scripture. It says, like, even with the in the Bible, it's Matthew. It's like Matthew 9:29. It's like, according to your faith, so be it unto you. According to what you believe about yourself, that's how your physical world will manifest. Believe first, even if you don't see any evidence. That's what faith is. The evidence of things not seen, the things hoped for. You don't have to see the physical evidence, but you have to believe it first. Believe that you are that type of person and be that type of person. Be, I am a leader. Be, I am rich. Just be that person first, and then the physical results around you will follow your belief. According to your faith, so be it unto you. So just believe that, and then go back to the Napoleon Hill on page 17. Remember that your only limitation is the one that you set up in your own mind. If you set a limitation up in your mind, well, I'm not a leader because I don't have this. I'm not the top earner in my company. I'm not this person. I'm not that. I don't have these things. I don't have this money. Who am I to jump out and try to share something with somebody? Be that person first. Just be it in your being. Believe that you are rich, successful, a leader. Believe that, and then do the things that a leader or a rich or successful person will do, and then you will have the things that a rich or successful or leader has. I love you all. Have a great day.
Powerful as always, Joe Dollar. Thank you, man. Great stuff.
Troy from Dallas.
Hey, Troy. Good morning. How's it going?
It's unbelievable. I don't know, you know, I mean, I'm going to, you know, basically just tell everybody what a leader is to me. You know, I'm not, you know, really think everybody will agree, but, you know, the acronym for me with leader is, you know, you're willing to learn from your mistakes. And you have to be enthusiastic. You have to be excited about life. Okay. You have to be excited. You have to be ambitious, having a desire to be successful. You have to be daring, not afraid to take risk. You got to be energetic, have lots of energy. And you got to be relentless. Don't care what the naysayers say. Go after it, no matter what. That's my say. And I hope, you know, a lot of people, you know, take that and run with it. And, you know, it just don't care. They all don't care if it's from your leader that's supposed to be your leader that's not giving you what you want. You go after it for yourself. You go after it for your family. You go after it for whoever you know desire to go after for, even if it's just for you. You go after it no matter what. Back to you, Paul.
No matter what. Powerful.
Hi, this is Deborah from Philadelphia. Good morning.
As far as leadership and initiative, I had invited a young lady onto a presentation, one of the tools that we have, and I had reminded her of it, and she texted me, and she said, I'm driving. It was a webinar, so she said, I'm driving. I'm in motion. Can you give me the call-in number? So I'm like, wow, call-in number. I'm digging, trying to find a call-in number because it's a webinar. So anyway, I took the time. Luckily, I had texted her early, so that gave me time before the presentation to go look for the call-in number. So I'm digging, and I did find it, and I was able to share with her. And even before the presentation, her listening to it, she immediately said, I'm in. How do I sign up? I was like, wow, you know. And even from that, just conversating with her afterwards, or, you know, follow-up three-way call, she said, I was so impressed. She said before, she said, I even went online to look at the stock in reference to some of the things that was mentioned. So she took it to another level, and I was like so excited. I did take the initiative. And now when I do send a link out for the webinar, I also include the telephone number in case they can't get online or in case they don't have access to the webinar. So, I mean, I was like, that was just taking initiative and handling my business.
That's awesome, Deborah. Congratulations. That's exciting. Mind your business. Like Robert Kiyosaki says, mind your business. You're handling your business. Good job. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing. Star 6 is next. Come on out. We've got 5 minutes left. Would love to hear from you guys and gals.
Kathy here.
Hey, Kathy.
Good morning. How is everyone today? So good to be alive. I just wanted to share that I was talking to a friend the other day. She's taking a speech class at Idaho State University, and she was talking about how she just didn't like to do speeches. She didn't see herself as somebody to get up in front of others. But it was really interesting. The conversation led to, you know, our church teaches leadership from the time they're 3 years old to giving talks in primary, giving in the little children's youth group. That's other people. Anyway, she said it was really interesting to her the confidence that she learned that she had and giving the talks. And she said you could tell other people that had just never had an opportunity to be up in front of people and they were just nervous. And then we were talking about, I shared a little bit about my business. And the thing that I love about the business that I'm in now is that it teaches. The main focus is teaching leadership skills. And I hadn't even realized that we've been taught from such a young age to be leaders, but it just wasn't something that I was even aware because I didn't have people saying, you're going to be such a great leader someday. But I do now. I have people that I work with that are, you're becoming such a great leader. And one of the things when you was talking earlier about leader and the last R, responsibility. So many people, I think, are afraid of taking responsibility for whatever reason. I went to an event this weekend, not with my company. There were a lot of people from a lot of different companies at this Limitless event, and they talked about leadership, and they really talked about what is it that is keeping you stuck? What is it that is keeping you from having what you want, becoming who you want to be? In wealth, in health, in relationships, and really had people looking inside themselves and saying, well, I'm afraid of being a target, or it's just fear of the unknown, fear of what will people think, and just really helping people to overcome those fears and limiting beliefs by just saying, I am a leader. I am becoming the person that I'm just taking every negative thing. First of all, being aware of the things that you say to yourself that are keeping you stuck and realizing that those thoughts are not serving you anymore. Let go of them and replace them with more powerful thoughts. And it was just really really incredible, the people that I met and the people that were helping each other and taking initiative to help others to realize and overcome those limiting beliefs and just really celebrating each other whenever there was a little breakthrough. It was just really amazing. I just wanted to share with you, leaders take responsibility and are not afraid to be a target, because when you're a leader and you get to the top of the heap, there's always somebody to knock you off. And that's a limiting belief that just needs to be changed for, I can be a leader and people look up to me. And just, it's really important that we pay attention to our self-talk. So that was my share for today. Thanks.
Awesome, Kathy. Appreciate that very much. Awesome stuff, guys. Appreciate y'all for being leaders. Appreciate y'all for having initiative. Appreciate y'all for having a dream and being willing to come and mastermind and share with each other. You know, when you step out in the mastermind portion of the call, I believe that's leadership, right? It's the stepping up and sharing value. And one of the quotes that I'll end with here from Napoleon Hill that I really like that kind of has to do with leadership. He says, "A man who always takes and never gives is not a leader, he is a parasite." And obviously the same goes for women. Men and women who always take and never give, they're not leaders, they're a parasite. Right? That may be a little harsh, but it's a good reminder that we do want to give. We want to take in, we want to read, we want to listen, and then we want to give. We want to share, we want to disseminate, we want to get that communication out. We want to get those life-changing principles out. And that's a big part of leadership for me. So I love you guys. Have an awesome day. Take action. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Thanks for being awesome. Now. Yeah.